Well, it's interview time all the way from Los Angeles, California. I have got my guest. He's not my musical guest. He is my literary guest, Rich Samuels. Rich, are you there?
I am literally right here.
So we're going to turn this into one of those intellectual shows, say, because we have an author, you know, the guy that writes books and stuff. How you doing, my wordsmith friend?
I am. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, that's
I'll try to be as literal as I can.
All right. Well, we've had you on the show before, you know, sometimes as just a guest of Twirl Radio, because you're a longtime friend. You've come up and visited us here in Sacramento. One time, a couple years ago, you actually came up because you had your first novel in hand, and now you've got your second novel. So tell us all about it. This sounds like a series to me.
Right, it is. It's called the series is called Alexander Adventures. The first book was My Life at the Bottom of the Food Chain. And Alexander is this kid who is at this point in his life where he thinks he has the whole world figured out, and he's usually entirely wrong. And now the first book, it's about bullying, and he's not being bullied. You know, unlike most novels, he's being bullied and there's a big confrontation. But in his mind, he thinks all of this is happening. And in fact, he targets one kid as the arch enemy, as his arch enemy, and he decides to create this climactic confrontation, you know, in front of the entire school. He thinks he's going to stand up to the bully, who's actually some innocent kid. And at the end of that, he ends up looking like an idiot, jumping around, thinking he's going to fight. It gets on video. And ends up going viral.
Oh, my.
Now, the second book, Own the Scrawny, picks up where the last one left off. He's now the unwilling star of this viral video that over a million people have seen. And that's bad enough because now he has strangers calling him names in the shopping mall and at school, not only at school, but everywhere. But then he finds out about the comments below the video and finds out he's being trolled.
Uh-oh. And that's a concern these days, isn't it?
Right. And trolling is a little bit... Trolling is even worse than... Well, not worse, but it's different than cyberbullying because trolling can be strangers you don't know that are just out there to cause problems. I think anybody who creates, and I think a lot of your listeners who are musicians or writers or whatever, you know, if you create something and you put it out there, there are going to be people who are going to attack you just for being you.
That is true. That is true. So in the first novel, he's pretty OCD and paranoid, and so he ends up becoming a bully because he thinks he's being bullied. So is he every bit as paranoid and OCD in this one, or have you now given him a reason to be paranoid? Is that kind of the premise?
Well, you know, I tried to make this a little bit further down the line for him. A little bit. He's a little bit older, a little bit wiser, but not quite wise enough.
Hasn't grown up yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's not quite acting as goofy as he was in the first one, but he's not quite an adult. So he's acting, and he's trying to make sense of things. But when he sees all of these thousands of comments in the below the video that somebody posted of him acting like an idiot, you know, they're making fun of what he wears, they're making fun of what he looks like, they're making fun of, you know, everything about him, and he starts doubting himself and starts wondering, well, should I change my life? Should I change the way I dress? Should I change the way I act? He starts worrying about what these strangers think of him.
Oh, man. I mean, so these strangers are living rent-free in his head, basically.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
Now, how old is Alexander? What age is he?
Alexander's 13.
Oh, what a prime age. Yeah. I had all sorts of weird stuff going on in my head at that age. You know, middle school, you know, junior high school. Are those formative years? I mean, for me, they were formative and kind of a wasteland between my ears, pretty much.
It's formative. Yeah. I mean, it's all about perception.
Yes.
It's all about perceiving the world. And, it extends to adults as well. I mean, we perceive the world in a certain way, which... Until every once in a while, we find out we're entirely wrong, and we change our perception.
Yeah.
You know? Now, an interesting story about this is the kid that's on the cover of this book, and now on the first book, because I changed that too to match the first this to this book. He's actually a YouTuber. And he's had people, and he's 12 years old. He's on YouTube. He has people older than him writing in the comments, "How come you don't just kill yourself?"
Oh.
Now he has the benefit of having a couple of older brothers who are on YouTube and parents who are sort of tech savvy, so he doesn't worry about it. But there's a lot of kids that might do this sort of a thing that don't have that advantage.
And you really hear about some of those stories, and unfortunately there have been a couple of instances in the news where a kid would kill themselves, and it was because of cyberbullying.
Exactly, exactly, and trolling, and people that don't know them at all. Now, I mean, we take a fun, kind of a funny look at this, but there's a serious message below it, you know, that you don't, you know, you got to keep perspective and you got to know who your friends are. And that's what he learns ultimately, you know, is that what really counts are his friends and his family.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what all comes down to.
And people need to behave online just as they would in person. I think there's a whole sense of bravado that people get when they're anonymous like that.
Exactly. And there's, I mean, that's all over the place. I mean, it's, you see it constantly, and it could be, you know, racial, it could be all kinds of things. And it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty horrible thing sometimes.
Yeah, it gets ugly. And I, you know, when I read news stories online, I almost cringe when I look at the comments section. You know, politics are bad. I think the only thing worse than politics might be sports, but at least with sports, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I try not to read a lot of comments. You know, especially in the news. I mean, it could be the most innocuous story about a dog, you know, doing something goofy, and somebody will find some way of making it political or criticizing the person who took the video for not stepping in, or I don't know, whatever. And it could be just a, you know, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that dog story, you know, you see, thanks Obama or thanks Bush, you know, so.
That's exactly it. And that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, he gets to the point where I mean, his friends, you know, both his friends and new friends that he makes, where he starts to see what's important in his life and what's not important. And he's starting, but on the way, he runs into a ton of detours and you know, creates what Alexander typically does, is that he puts himself into situations that are pretty horrible, that only he has only himself to blame.
Wow. What a great character. What a great character. So what age group is this book aimed at?
I you know, it's early teens and late preteen, like 11, 12, 13. Though I've had people of all different ages read it and identify with it, because again, it's that little slice of time that we all go through where we think we have everything figured out and we're entirely wrong. Especially things like fashion, you know, mistakes where we think, hey, I'm going to look cool, and everybody laughs at you when you go to school.
Oh, and that was the worst time. And yes, that's why it's so memorable. I'm in my middle age, and I can remember those days like they were yesterday. And that's why I think the first book hit home with me.
Yeah, and I recall a couple of experiences that I sort of translated into this book, you know, that are pretty close to what I did. you think you're cool and you know, you try to ignore the people who don't like it. You think they're just, well, today we'd say trolling you, but then you realize that, okay, nobody thinks this is cool.
And so, you know, those terms too, those cyber terms, when you think about it, before computers, trolling probably meant some little creature living under a bridge. spam was this pork product. I mean, it's kind of funny the terminology that we use. Actually, it's kind of clever. If I heard those terms when I was 13, I probably would have laughed at the terms we use today.
Oh, it's perfect though. A troll is deserves to be called a troll, you know, for what they do, and they just want to make somebody miserable, you know. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, I have a lot of fun with this character, and I have, you know. His next step, you know, I'm starting working on this on the third book, which, you know, it's a little bit more along his line. I'm trying not to make it, you know, just another adventure. I try to make it a little bit further along. He's growing up just a little bit and learning a little bit more along the way.
That's really great, and I can't wait to get to the third book. Of course, we have to get to the second one. I've known you, of course, to write films and scripts and screenplays. Was it a natural transition to go from scripts to novels?
Well, I mean, the original book, you know, My Life at the Bottom of the Food Chain, started out as a screenplay. Mm-hmm. And it won an award at a film festival. And I thought, okay, but you know what? I never liked the idea of spending my life shopping something around Hollywood and, you know, maybe somebody will anoint me and tell me I'm wonderful and option my screenplay and not do anything with it for 5 years. I like the idea of connecting with an audience, and today, the way things are going, the self-distribution, I can get this out to readers directly. I can get response directly, and I can get, since my, you know, my first couple of books, I can actually get a sense of you know, what my audience is and how they respond to what I'm doing.
And that's another thing that the internet and the cyber world has brought about. You know, you hear about that so much with music, but it sounds like writing is pretty much the same way. You can get that feedback and that better connection than we might have had, you know, in past generations.
Absolutely. No, that's definitely what it is. Because you can, just like with music, you now don't need a publishing house. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd love to have a publishing house behind me. But I, you know, again, I could have sent this manuscript out and I'd still be waiting for a response back, potentially. So I wanted to, since I had never done it before, I wanted to get it out there. I wanted to see how people responded. I didn't, you know, want to put it in one person's hand and sit around and twirl my thumbs and work on three other books and whatever, which I want to do. But I didn't, I wanted to learn from my readership. Of course, yeah, the challenge to that, like any musician will relate, is getting it out to that audience, finding that audience, and having them find you.
Yes, and DIY is the way to go. I'm here with Rich Samuels, author of The Second Alexander Adventure, Own the Scrawny, and we're going to take a brief musical break. You'll be pleased with my choice here for our segment, Rich. A mutual friend of ours, Eric Peter Schwartz. How's that?
That's great. Cool.
Okay, we're going to play Eric Peter Schwartz and Milky Way. We'll be right back with more of Rich Samuels here on Swirl.
Kicking back on Saturn, I see a starship go by and I wonder why. Chilling out on Io, I feel a crying scene go by and I wonder why. I wonder why that out here in the Milky Way it looks like rain. Looks like rain. Grabbing a beer on Pluto, feel the crowd turn shy and I wonder why. Catching some Z's on Neptune, your leaving hits me broadside, and I wonder why. I wonder why. That out here in the Milky Way, it looks like rain. Looks like rain. Living life on planet Earth, I kiss another wife goodbye, and I wonder why. I wonder why. Out here in the Milky Way, it looks like rain. Oh, out here in the Milky Way, it looks like rain.
Eric Peter Schwartz with Milky Way, off the Troubadour album, which came out last year. Wonderful album. He's a mutual friend of my guest, Rich Samuels, and I. Rich Samuels just wrote a book called Own the Scrawny. We're trying to own it. So, Rich, you know, we often play songs by our musicians so people will get interested in them and want to maybe, you know, learn more. Can we have you give a sample of your writing so people might get more interested in Own the Scrawny?
Yes, and I promise I won't sing it.
But maybe you should on a future show. That'd be kind of fun. You know, Own the Scrawny, the rock opera.
That would be cool, and it would actually fit on the. Well, I'll talk to our mutual friend. Maybe we'll come up with a.
I like it.
All right, so yeah, I'm going to read you a short excerpt from when Alexander, despite his friends who know him really well, their advice not to read the comments, he decides he's going to read them anyway.
Okay.
Okay?
Here we go.
All right. He took out his smartphone and called up the video. 4,324 comments. The huge number seemed insane. Why would so many people have an opinion? He slowed down and then stopped walking as he began to scroll down and read the comments. Is there something wrong with him? Trolls, Edgar had said. He tried to keep that in mind. He couldn't let crazy comments bother him. What is he, six? He already knew he'd been acting immature. He figured that was a fair comment. If he did that to me, I'd punch him. He didn't expect a violent comment and thought about stopping right there. He even put the phone back in his pocket, but pulled it right out again. He had to keep reading. What a baby. Scrawny, isn't he? Scrawny? He was small, but scrawny? And then there were those people who couldn't be bothered with anything more than one-word comments. Loser, mutant, moron, and then that word again, scrawny. Alexander vaguely heard the bell ring. He was standing alone in the middle of the grass courtyard. He couldn't stop reading. Odd. Idiot. Definitely a monkey. It was horrible that people were making fun of him, but they were hating, too. Hating, and worse. Fake. Nobody would really act like that. Some people didn't even believe he was real. There you go.
Wow, that was really good. And, you know, we got a little bit inside of Alexander's head in that one.
Yeah, that's actually the fun of this whole thing, is that, you know, you're inside his head, you're inside his weird thought process, you know. So now, hopefully people like it.
Very, very cool. Now, do you have any, you know, with musicians, we have CD release parties. Do you have any book signings or anything like that scheduled?
I actually, down here, I have a local author event down here in Santa Clarita, the Santa Clarita Valley, that I'm attending next week. It's the first time I've done one of these public events, you know, and, you know, I'll be on a panel and I'll be signing the book. And, you know, I haven't done my own launch party yet. I'm still, like my character, Alexander, a little bit neurotic about that. What if I held a party and nobody came?
Oh, man. But that would be fun, though, the book launch party. Is your first book in libraries at all?
The first book, yes. Well, it's in my local library, and it's a few libraries around the country.
Wow.
It's a question of trying to get it to them. Again, it's waving my flag and trying to get people to see it, you know, and having them... you know, sort of bring it into their own place. So, and it's a challenge I'm working on right now.
That's an interesting thought. You know, I wonder how hard it is to get a book into the library. Like, if you sent some copies up to the Sacramento Public Library, can I walk in and is there somebody you talk to and say, hey, would you add this to your rotation, or how do you do that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've talked to here at my local library. Santa Clarita library system, I can go in and do that. Los Angeles Public Library, I have, you know, good friends there, and the problem is that, you know, there's a million people that go into the Los Angeles Public Library with their books. Anybody can publish a book, you know, and not everybody looks at it as a, you know, as a professional effort. Mm. So you can go in, you know, what I have to do is make sure I get a lot of good reviews and get a lot of reviews from reputable companies and reputable review, you know, places. And then I bring it to them and say, look, I get all the support. You'll definitely want to have me in your library. And they can't turn me down.
Ah, so if Twirl Radio wrote a book review and said, this book rocks, although it's good, we're not necessarily reputable in the field of literary, of course.
Well, unless a librarian listens to you religiously.
So there you go. Just like any other business, it's who you know.
It's who you know.
Wow. So are you going to do an audiobook version of this or the first one?
Yeah, I actually did an audiobook of the first book. And if I actually can offer a couple of audiobooks to a couple of first two people who request on your site, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Free audiobooks to two people who respond, and
that's very generous. Thank you. Really, that's going to be great. Listeners, go ahead and grab that. Just find Rich Samuels and request the audiobook.
Yeah, the first book. In fact, those two people, I'll give them the free audiobooks of the first book and the second book along with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Rich. I'm here with Rich Samuels, who just released a new book called Own the Scrawny. It covers my least favorite years, the middle school years. I can't believe our segment's almost over. Where can my listeners learn more about you and your character, Alexander?
Well, you can learn about me and a little bit about Alexander on my website, richsamuelsauthor.com. That's RichSamuels author.com, and you can actually obviously find out about it on any of your favorite retail sites, Amazon, Nook, iBooks, anywhere where you buy your paperback or ebook, you can find it on online.
Excellent, excellent. So we'll be looking for it. Got to ask you the big question. I don't think I've asked you this in a couple of years. And what's your favorite food? I've seen you eat so many times, so it's hard for me to pin down what your favorite is. I've seen you liking a lot of stuff, but right now, as of this moment, what's your fave?
Oh, you know, I guess I have a craving at the moment for spaghetti and meatballs.
There you go.
and if you read the book, there's actually a reference to that. So
that's awesome. Rich Samuels, thank you so much for hanging out with us here on Twirl Radio today.
It was lots of fun. Thank you so much, Mike, for having me.
My pleasure. Stay with me on the line for just another minute. We're going to jump back into the music. Here's the Bobbleheads out of San Francisco and the song Sofa.